everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 214. Today we're going to be talking about Buffy season 6 episodes 1 and 2, Bargaining parts 1 and 2. As usual, if you'd like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can find us on this post on hypeable.com or rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. My name is Karen. I'm a super fan. I'm joined by fellow super fan Mai and newbies Ariana and Kristen. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
So, who has a fun fact? Because I didn't think about it. Did anyone come prepared?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
On accident. So, my fun fact is that I'm pretty sure that I caught whatever it was that Natalie and Brittany had last week. They passed it on to me because my throat hurts quite a bit this morning. And I feel like I sound funny, but hopefully I don't sound too funny.
You sound a little different, but okay. It's not bad. You've got a sexy husk to your voice, so.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Natalie and Brittany are out right now, and I'm going to blame this on them.
Okay. That seems fair. Totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. Mai, what about you?
Besides hockey, I'm still doing photography, I guess, which you know, since I sent you a picture of some deer.
Yes, they're very cute. And Kristen, what about you?
I recently received an ARC from an author I've never read, and I was emailing back her publisher, her representative, like her PR lady, and I found out that not only is this, like, did this author, like, write her own stories, her books, she also took the pictures for the covers, and I was looking at the covers, like, they're really gorgeous, like, she said, I was reading through like the info sheet that we get with them, and one of them said that she took a train to go to this like specific like wooded area to like go get this one shot for her cover, and spent like all day trying to get this picture. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, to not only write your own stories and like have that whole world in your brain, but to also want to create your own covers and like be that person, like that just really, I thought it was really cool.
Do you remember the author's name or the name of the book?
It's called Seeds of Intention. It comes out this fall, and it looks really cool, but I'll put something in the show notes for those that may be interested.
Yeah, cool. My fun fact is that I had a dream last night that had Eminem and the Ninja Turtles in it, and somebody killed Donatello, which is my favorite Ninja Turtle.
And why would you do that?
It was really violent, like just like slaughtered him.
That's a horrid person.
Yeah, it was really sad.
That would never happen.
Did you get to eat pizza with them?
No, I saw him die right next to me.
This doesn't sound like a dream then. It sounds like a nightmare.
Maybe it is. Although Eminem was really cool in it, so like that was a thing. But anyway, let's talk about Buffy. Again, we're talking about Buffy episodes 301 and 2, Bargaining, parts 1 and 2. In this episode, Willow thinks she is Jesus, but it is Buffy who comes back from the dead. Meanwhile, Spike babysits his little bit, and Anya minds Giles's money. Okay, so yeah, two-parter, we're kind of going to do it in one big chunk. And there's a lot to talk about here. First of all, we see Willow using her telepathy more to help the Scooby Gang attack a couple of vampires in the opening shot. So, Ariana, you find this pretty creepy.
Yeah, but I don't think it's supposed to be intentionally creepy. I think it's supposed to make her look like, ooh, Willow's so powerful. I just think that that Allison Hannigan has poor inflection in her voice.
Does anyone else find this creepy?
Yeah.
invasively or because of the lack of inflection?
Invasively.
What about you, Kristen?
My first instinct, like when we first heard her in someone's head, I thought that like they had arranged this so that she wasn't yelling at the vampires, like, because her standing on top of a crypt, like yelling out directions is gonna give away their plans. So like, I assumed that they all were ready for this, and then Xander's like, stop doing that. So if they weren't expecting it, if this wasn't a plan, then yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little creepy. But like, if they had decided ahead of time, this is how we're going to handle things, like, then it would be totally cool. So yeah, it was a little weird, but you know, it could be cool.
Yeah. Like Anya says, you could knock first or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. And another question, were you guys at all tricked by Buffy in the beginning, or did you know it was the Buffy bot?
As I kind of explained to Karen, cause she asked me this, I assumed that because this is how my brain works, apparently, I didn't necessarily go to Buffy bot first. I immediately thought that in order to fool the vampires into believing that the Slayer was still alive, that Willow had done some sort of like appearance magic or something to make Dawn look like Buffy, since she's of the same bloodline, and that they were using Dawn to like distract them. I don't know why my brain went there first. Obviously the Buffy bot is the easier explanation, but that is where my brain went. And so I didn't exactly expect Buffy bot, but then, you know, I wasn't surprised by it either. I knew it wasn't Buffy.
Well, that's a cool explanation, Kristen. I feel like maybe you should be writing for this show. I thought it was the Buffy bot, so my answer is not as exciting. Because I didn't think that they would, like, that, what a cop-out if they just bring her back and don't show us how they brought her back. Plus, we had the Buffy bot in the last episode, so it makes sense.
Yep, yep. But still, it's a little disappointing every time, because I'm like, it's not real. You kind of want it to be real.
Oh, not for me. I love the Buffy bot.
Yeah, that's true. I love the Buffy bot too, but she's very, it's interesting because like she's a very different character from real Buffy, which is maybe why you like her. But yeah, it's not quite Buffy, as everybody knows. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, actually. But I want to talk about Giles a little bit first, because I did not notice this, but is it true Giles isn't in the opening credits?
No, I noticed it right away because that was not cool with me.
Interesting.
I was going to say, I didn't notice, but after the credits already started, I wondered if Sarah Michelle Gellar was still in the credits, because I wasn't sure if they were going to be like sneaky and be like, yeah, she's not here. She's dead. What are you talking about? Yeah.
He's not in them at all. He's listed as a special, like special guest once the credits end. And they're, you know how they like have the like special guests when they have like like special guests.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
So,
Giles did leave.
That seems so dumb.
Do you think he'll Brittany's, be gone forever?
Well, Brittany thinks that he's supposed to leave at some point, but I didn't expect him to leave. I feel like the show would be so empty without him. He like brings a level of gravitas that the show desperately needs.
That is true. I will agree with that. If he left permanently, how disappointed would you be?
Very disappointed. Already all the good people have gone. Like, I'm very I'd be very disappointed.
What if he goes over to Angel?
No, I don't want him on Angel. They have Wesley already. I like the pancakes. I like what's happening there. They don't need more Buffy people.
So the hope is that he will come back.
Yes.
And what do you think his reaction is going to be?
Probably he'll be mad because Willow's dumb.
We'll talk about that in a minute too. Kristen, how do you feel about all of this?
I was not okay. Like, I was trying to figure out why he wanted to leave so bad. Like, is it, you know, is it just because it's hard to be there without Buffy? Like, everyone else is there and they're still trying to do the job that Buffy's supposed to do. And it just seemed so sad that he wanted to leave. And I liked that, you know, he kept talking about it, but putting it off. Like, I thought that was a really interesting way to kind of handle that. Like, he feels like he should leave, but can't. And then all of a sudden, poof, he's like, I've made my decision. It's time to go. I like Giles. When we first started this series, I wasn't a huge fan. Like, I didn't know whether or not I was going to be a fan of the adult advisor guy. But, you know, over the years, I've come to really, really like him here. So, over the seasons. So, I would miss Giles if he was gone.
And he left can't be with, gone. With just a note. And he tried to sneak away and they would not let him.
That, yeah. If he thought he was going to get away with that, he's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. So things are kind of weird all around with Buffy gone and nobody's quite sure how to feel or what to do, I think. And right now, Tara and Willow are living with Dawn. And Ariana, you said in here, My Two Teen Moms is definitely a show I would watch.
Yeah.
I want to know if this kind of hit you in the feels like it hit me.
Yeah, making a little family.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised, obviously, because Willow and Buffy were best friends and in their minds, like, Dawn's been around the whole time and it's just what you would do and they need to make sure that, like, she doesn't get taken away and all of that. But still, like, that's a lot to take on for a couple of college students and it's
also, I mean, it is cute, but it's also kind of very irresponsible, I feel like.
Yeah.
They've set up this entire, they're so dumb. Like, they've set up this whole thing so that Dawn doesn't get taken away, so she doesn't get sent to her father. And Dawn doesn't want to go to her father. Dawn wants to stay there in her house with her friends. But, like, in real life, Dawn should probably go to her father. Like, that's the sensible thing to do. She should not be, like, the Buffy bot, like, raising her. That's really not healthy. Obviously.
I 100% agree with that because it's not Buffy. And I think Dawn is having a little trouble realizing that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we have seen that their father is extremely irresponsible and doesn't necessarily care about them all that much. So in my mind, even though the Buffy bot part is very unhealthy, the idea that she's surrounded by people who actually do really care about her, even if it's a struggle to kind of take care of her, in my mind, that kind of outweighs it.
Also, they all are probably just trying to hold on to the last bit of Buffy that they have. Buffy mm-hmm. sacrificed herself to save Dawn, and Dawn is of her blood and is her sister. And, you know, I can see them not wanting to give her up, even if, you know, maybe it's not the best decision, but they're all mourning at this point still, and they're not necessarily going to make the best decisions. And so in this instance, like, it's just, we can't let her go. Like, she, you know, I can take care of her. I can see Willow in her head thinking, Buffy's gone. Yes. Now it's my turn. I'm supposed to take care of her. And needing to try, needing to take on the responsibility just as to try and step into Buffy's shoes, to try and move on from here. Like, it makes sense.
That is so selfish. Like, their mourning is so selfish. And I can see Willow setting this whole thing up because she's awful. And, like, it's cute in theory, but it's really not healthy. And, like, if they want her around, if her dad is really that bad, like, they act like Giles is an adult. If he wanted to, he could foster her. Like, they could try and find a foster family. Obviously, like, Sunnydale is really huge. It has a college. They could find a foster family there. She needs to be raised in a healthy environment. And what happened to her is awful. But they're not exactly helping. Willow thinks she knows better than everybody and everything. And you know what? She doesn't.
All of them need therapy.
Yeah.
Yes, they do all need therapy.
I also think, like, yes, their mourning is selfish, but their mourning, I can't really hold that against them. They lost somebody who is extremely important in their lives. And, like, yeah, it's not healthy. I totally get that. But at the same time, I think they're still just reacting and trying to survive. And I can't say that I would necessarily do things differently in their position, because if I lost my best friend, like, I would go to the ends of the earth to try to make myself feel better. And maybe that's selfish, but sometimes you're allowed to be, especially if you lose somebody like that.
Yeah, like, inherently mourning is kind of selfish. Like, yeah, you're thinking of the people that have gone, but you're also, you're mourning their loss in your life. You're trying to find a way to move on now that they have gone. You have to, like, it is kind of a selfish act. It's something that you have to get through. And they're not going to make the best decisions. I can't even begin to list the number of TV characters that have done terrible things in the name of mourning. Like, it's a thing. Like, just not being able to just step away and move on after death means that you're gonna make really dumb mistakes. And yes, having the Buffy bot step into Buffy's shoes and go to parent-teacher night is, like, it's dumb. And not letting her either A, stay with Giles, who is an adult and who could give her some stability, because that he is stability, he knows stability. Like, yes, that's kind of dumb, but at the same time, they're all trying to do their best, and you can tell that they're all trying to help and do what they think Buffy would want. And I think
they're not doing that. They're doing what they want. This has nothing to do with what Buffy would want.
I think Willow believes that taking care of Dawn and making sure she doesn't have to leave her home and making sure she doesn't have to leave all of the friends that she's made and making sure that she's taken care of is what Willow believes Buffy would want. And so I think that's why Dawn is there. I think that's why Dawn isn't at a foster home with strangers. I think that's why Dawn isn't off with her dad, wherever he may be, is because Willow believes that Buffy would want Dawn to be there. That's what I think. I don't know if it's the right answer. I don't know what Buffy, we haven't really heard Buffy's take on all of this yet, but I think that's what Willow thinks she's doing.
I can see that, because remember how hard Buffy fought to keep Dawn earlier after her mother's death? Like, again, I agree, like, not sure it's the right decision necessarily, but I think Buffy would want Dawn to stay with the people that care for her. Could still be irresponsible, absolutely. Let's talk about the Buffy bot really quickly, though, because she's being used as a cover for the real Buffy, and everybody treats her kind of differently. Some of them kind of see her as an item, as not a real person. Obviously, she's not, but it's very much a, like, the Buffy bot is a thing versus something that is actually, like, almost human. And Spike doesn't want any of the old programming in there that had her flirting with him and that kind of thing. He gets really upset when that happens. Dawn lays in bed with her and kind of holds on to the fact that, like, yeah, I know she's not really my sister, but she's the closest thing I have to my real sister. And then Xander, Willow, they kind of talk about Buffy bot in front of her as, like, oh yeah, I need to, like, fix her programming and stuff like this. So I always found it very interesting that they have this person who looks exactly like their best friend and acts like their best friend in a lot of ways, and realize that they didn't ever forget that wasn't the real Buffy. I think in times of mourning and desperation, you can kind of gravitate toward things like that, like Dawn's doing. But for the rest of them, very clear cut, this is not Buffy. And they kind of treat her as an object. So I don't know. What did you guys think of that? Did you like the way that was? How do you feel about Dawn's reaction to her?
I understand Dawn's reaction to her. because she is like this replacement Buffy. And I understand Spike's the way Spike reacts to her, because that's probably how I would react if somebody that I cared about died. I would not want a robot that looks like them walking around mm-hmm. reminding me that they're dead all mm-hmm. the time.
Even if he ordered her in the first place?
Yeah, he ordered her when she was alive. She's yeah. dead now. It's just a walking reminder that she's not there. It's really regret. Creepy. It would be very creepy. So I think it's really weird, though, like you said, Karen, how the other ones can be so clinical about it. But they're also, I don't really understand their processing brain anyway.
Yeah, I find it really strange how they talk to the Buffy bot about, I'm going to open you up and fix your programming.
Well, she's just a psychopath, so.
Yeah, but considering how they couldn't tell the Buffy bot from the real Buffy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's an extra level of creepy.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because before it was difficult for them. And I think now it's a bit easier because she talks differently and she keeps messing up. So it's, but you would think it'd be hard to remember this isn't the real Buffy, or maybe not, because they all saw her die. They saw her dead body. They buried her. They put her in the ground. They know Buffy's dead. So for them, maybe it is more like Spike than Dawn, where it's just a reminder of how much Buffy actually is dead.
We could jump a tiny bit ahead, though, and say that sometimes they won't tell the difference. Xander didn't.
When?
When Buffy came back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Of course, they didn't think their spell was going to work, so.
I was going to say, I think that's more denial. That can't be Buffy. Our spell didn't work.
Yeah, of course exactly. Not. Speaking of Spike, though, Spike sort of adopted Dawn because they're both in mourning over Buffy, and he is very protective of her. And it's sort of his job now to be her babysitter. And even though he's sad and sometimes gets angry, that is a job he's very much dedicated to. So what do you think about Spike's whole mourning process to begin with? Because he's clearly devastated that Buffy's gone.
This is so fascinating to me as a part of, it's crazy because he's a vampire. He has no soul. And yet, in these episodes, he cares for Dawn with no direct benefit to himself mm-hmm. whatsoever. Buffy's gone. She, in his mind, she's dead forever. She's not coming back. She will never love him. And yet, this person, who she's a little girl who can't benefit him in any way, he cares for her like he loves her. She's his family. And that's just so fascinating that he is able to have those emotions, those kind of unselfish emotions.
It is very different for a vampire to be able to do that. So do you think this means that Spike definitely did love Buffy?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think he loves Dawn even, I would say.
By extension, yeah. Kristen, what do you think about this?
I mean, you can tell that he is attached to Dawn. And again, it's at least mostly in service to the fact that Buffy gave her life for Dawn, and he loved Buffy, and he loved Dawn because of what she meant to Buffy. And now that Buffy's gone, in moving on, he says, my job can be to protect Dawn. My job can be to be there for her and to watch out for her. That's what Buffy would have done, and that's what I'm going to do. It makes total sense with how he was acting before she died.
I think you're right, though, Ariana. This is just fascinating to me, too, because there's no reason, like you said, it's completely selfless. There's no reason for him to stick around other than the fact that he loved Buffy, and this is what she would want. And that makes sense if you're a human with a soul. Doesn't make so much sense when you're a vampire with a demon living inside of you, but it is what it is. This is how he feels. And it's kind of amazing to see how it plays out.
Like, in these episodes, he was the most selfless person out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go figure.
We can throw it back to season 2, if you remember the blue demon called the Judge in Surprise,
mm-hmm.
who burned out the humanity out of his victims. And he said that Spike reeked of humanity.
Yeah. Some vampires.
Really? I don't remember that at all. But that sounds accurate.
Unlike Angelus, who was clean of humanity.
Mm-hmm. See, that's so weird. I wonder what... Obviously, Spike is going to get his soul at some point. And I'm just so curious what he would be like, because I love Angel so much. And he's so terrible without a soul. So if you gave Spike his soul back, what would he be like? Or maybe he'd be exactly the same, because, like, this is him.
True. Or he'd be William, and he'd be
his pathetic. Humanity is so strong.
He wasn't pathetic.
No, William was pathetic. I hate William.
He was super pathetic.
Yes. No, very pathetic.
He was a romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mai, you would like that if a creepy guy came up and started reading you his creepy poem at a party in front of all your friends?
I mean, he had nice hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't mock the comp.
All right, I really want to get to the meat of this episode now. And Ariana, honestly, I'm just going to kind of turn this over to you, because I know
don't do that.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. Here's the deal, because I know you have a lot of feelings about this. I want to hear what you have to say, and then I kind of want to play devil's advocate. So
I don't.
I mean, you guys can do that all you want, and I know I'm going to get lots of hate mail. Sorry, last week I gave you a nice episode. I was a nice person. I'm so angry. Like, I didn't enjoy this episode. I really liked the content of it. I didn't like it, but it's a good quality episode, but I just could not, I was so angry the whole time because Willow is so awful.
And yeah.
I don't even know if I can express why she's awful, but she just is. I know Natalie hates her, so now I understand better why.
Let's set this up a little bit, because what ends up happening is they've decided they're going to resurrect Buffy. Okay, Willow's kind of leading the charge on this, and she is the one gathering the final ingredients, which we see is the blood of an innocent deer, and she doesn't really tell the others what exactly it is. Even Tara's kind of in the dark. Tara knows she's going to be tested, but she doesn't know the extent to which that test is going to take place and all of this. They gather around the grave, and they start doing this resurrection spell. Willow is obviously super into it, and she's willing to go as far as it takes her. Everyone else is getting a little bit scared, and they're not quite sure that this is what they want to do. And the ritual ends up getting interrupted, and we kind of, obviously, we've all seen the episode, so we know where it goes from there. But, yeah, so I know, Ariana, you... think that Willow has a huge ego and that Xander clearly is the only sensible person left. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do want to give a lot of credit to Xander for being the only one with guts enough to be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But I do feel like the other ones feel that way also. Like Tara, I feel so bad for Tara. She's clearly in an abusive relationship. And like last year she told Willow, she obviously feels like Willow has been messing with dark stuff for a long time. And she's told her, like, it scares me where you're going. And then Willow like freaked out and made it into this whole thing about like, oh, you just don't think I'm gay enough. And which was like, not what Tara was saying. She was saying you're getting into creepy stuff. And then Tara would be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And so now Tara feels like she can never bring it up again. Because Willow's emotionally abusive. So yeah, okay. I understand the whole, we need to resurrect Buffy thing. If like the next day or minutes before, because I've watched The Vampire Diaries enough to know that that's like, I get that. But 3 months later, no, like it's too late. Let sleeping dogs lie. Let dead Buffy's stay in the ground. It's not, And she keeps going like, we don't know where she was. No, Willow, you very clearly know where she is. Stop with your crocodile tears. Like, Buffy's body was there. She's dead. She's not like Angel who got flung to a hell dimension. Like, her body is there and it's dead. She is dead. So wherever she is, it's where she's supposed to be after you're dead. And I don't see how they thought this could end well. You're not, I don't know, this is like dark stuff that, like, Willow is trying to play God. And I think that Xander realized, hey, we're kind of in over our heads here. And she's like, no, 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 this is fine. And it's not fine. It's not fine. It also really bothers me that she didn't tell Spike or Dawn or Giles, because you guys are like, oh, this is what Buffy would want it. No, it's not. Because if she really believed this is what Buffy would have wanted, she would have gotten Giles in there from the beginning, because Giles is wise and knows more about this stuff. He's read more books than them. And she, I can kind of understand not telling Dawn because she's little, and Spike because he's like a vampire, but honestly, like, Spike cares more about her than she does, obviously, now. But I think she didn't tell them because they would have probably been more sensible and would have been not as easily manipulated. Well, Spike and Giles would definitely not be manipulated by Willow. I don't know. I can't really articulate this. She's just awful.
I definitely see where you're coming from, first of all. I think for Willow and for everybody, desperation plays a big part in it. I don't think that that's necessarily a good excuse, but I think that's part of the reason why they're going so hard after this. The 3-month thing could be that they needed to gather the correct ingredients and that kind of thing. But again, yeah, she is decomposing. So you kind of have to wonder how that's going to affect her. Obviously, she did come back fully formed and everything, although there were some complications. I think it's also very important to note that Willow doesn't necessarily understand the limits or the consequences of magic. And we've seen this over the course of several seasons since she started practicing. Both Giles and Tara have brought up concerns about, oh, do you think you should do that? Or, oh, this is a really big spell. Like, this is very dark magic. Do you think this is smart? Willow kind of doesn't get it. And I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because she hasn't come up against severe consequences. But Giles very much understands how magic can go wrong. We know this from his Ripper days. Willow hasn't come up against something like that before. Again, not really a good excuse, but I think that's a major part of why she comes off as having this huge ego, is because she doesn't really get it. And it'll be interesting to see.
Don't you feel like she should get it? Like, by now, she should get it. If this is something she's interested in, then she should know the consequences. I feel like if she doesn't get it, it's because she's purposefully trying to not think about it, because she believes that she's outside that she can do whatever she wants. The consequences won't affect her.
I think that's where the desperation comes in.
Or is she willing to live with any consequences because it means Buffy's back? Like, I'm not saying it's healthy, I'm not saying it's right, but in this case, she's living without her best friend. She's living without this girl who has meant everything to her. And bringing her back is within her power. So how can she, like, in Willow's head, everyone else can justify why Buffy needs to stay dead. Buffy has died. But for Willow, she can feel that she's capable of bringing Buffy back. So how in her mind could she justify not doing it in these instances? Like, I know that it makes no sense, but for Willow, she's willing to live with any consequence because it means that Buffy will be back. And she has not yet let go of that. I think she's thrown herself into taking care of Dawn and making sure that everything is running smoothly and making sure the Buffy bot is, you know, in tip-top shape, because she hasn't dealt with the fact that Buffy is gone. And she has held on to this ability to bring her back and has said, like, I may need ingredients and I need this and I need this, but Buffy will be back. And it's like we saw in the episode, like, once she realizes that the spell cannot be done again, like, that the spell didn't work, quote unquote, and it can't be done again because the special, you know, vase thing is destroyed, she kind of breaks down and loses it. Like, she finally believes that Buffy is gone and out of her reach, and she starts to cry and lose it because she's giving herself the opportunity to grieve now. Like, now she's finally looking at it and saying, wow, okay, I can't bring her back. Like, she really is gone. And I think this is all just her believing that it's in her power, so how could she possibly not bring her friend back? She's not thinking about what Buffy would want in the realm of, like, Buffy being dead and Buffy not wanting to be brought back to life. She's thinking alive Buffy would want to be alive, of course. And it's not, again, it's not healthy, it's not smart, it's not what normal, I think what Willow in a normal state of mind would do. She would think through the consequences, but she's not, because right now anything is better than living without her best friend.
I understand all of that, except for the part where you said Willow would think through the consequences, because I think she rarely does that. But no, that makes sense. Live Buffy would want to be alive. I think you also brought up the Buffy bot. I think that is an issue here as well. I mean, I love the Buffy bot. I would watch that TV show. I think that should be its own TV show. Like, Buffy bot trying to learn to be Buffy. I think that'd be a very cute comedy. But, like, having this Buffy bot around has not really allowed them the mourning process to begin, because they still see her every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely like Buffy's there and not.
Yeah, I think both of you brought up that point, which is very good, in that, like, Willow in particular, and I think all of them to some extent, they haven't really mourned yet, because, like, Willow thought she could bring her back, so she kind of held on to the fact that, okay, Buffy's not really gone yet. Like, there's a chance she could come back, and so they kind of pushed away all these other feelings to just get through this process. And then, yeah, like you were saying, Kristen, once that vase is destroyed, then Willow kind of breaks down and she's like, it's over. She's dead. She's gone. I'm never going to see my best friend again. So yeah, that's very interesting. Where do you fall in this discussion?
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
True.
Definitely.
I think you just summed it up.
We're done now.
And we're out. See you later.
I mean, considering the things that Willow has to do to even bring her back.
It's dark.
Yeah. The black market, you know, according to Anya, is all baby teeth and spooky fluids. It's not a good look.
This is true.
She lies to her friends and this, she throws up a snake. Does the means justify the end?
We'll find out, I guess.
Okay, this was the other very frustrating thing and why these people are such idiots. Okay, why didn't they dig up her grave before they did the spell?
Oh,
what
yeah.
did they think? Like, did yeah. they think she was just going to appear next to them? Like, who are these idiots? They saw her body. They know her body is in the ground. So in whatever form she comes, she's going to be there. And also, I think it's really important that if they're going to go through with this, these idiots needed to look at Buffy's decomposing body in the face and realize this is a thing that we are going to do. Like, they need to accept the consequences and look at it fully. Here she is. She's dead. We're going to make her undead now.
I do think that if they would have dug up her grave and looked her in the eye, that everyone in the eye holes, yeah, everyone other than Willow would have backed down. I think each and every one of them would have said, Willow, we can't do this. But because they weren't looking Buffy in the eye, like seeing her face, they could, you know, they could keep themselves separated from the reality that they are bringing a dead person back to life. All they could think of is Buffy's coming back, not the real world, like, reasoning behind it. So I do absolutely agree with you that if they would have dug up her grave and looked at her, that there's no way they let Willow go through with this.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that's true. And let's talk about the way that she woke up, because it was horrific. I hate watching this scene because I have trouble breathing during it. But yeah, she wakes up in her coffin. She has no air. She has to punch her way through and crawl up through the dirt out into the real world. And as we've seen in 110 Nightmares, Buffy has a fear of being buried alive. And it came true. She had to crawl up out of her own grave. How do you think this is going to affect her going forward?
I mean, if I was her, I would be pissed. If they were going to do this, they needed to think through it fully and make sure this didn't happen.
I'd be so mad that it didn't dig me up.
Yeah.
At least.
I know. At least, even if they were too cowardly to open the coffin, they needed to at least get it out of the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do coffins
because in real
locks?
Life, okay, coffins are covered in cement. So, oh. I mean, maybe she would be able to punch her way out. But in real life, the coffin isn't just in the ground. It's covered in cement. So
I did not know that.
They are over there?
They are. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing she didn't have to punch through cement, too.
I also thought that they smashed the coffins to hurry the,
decomposing process?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, over here? Over here, that's why they put the cement, so it doesn't decompose as quickly.
Oh, different.
Yeah, we're all backwards.
I understand, in Mexico, they don't, I mean, Americans are weird, I guess. It's not really necessary.
But before they fill it back up, they smash the lid.
No. Over here, we really like our dead bodies to stay looking as not dead for as long as possible. Like, they fill you up with fluids and stuff so that you look
fresh.
Fresh. And then they cover up the coffin with cement. But in Mexico, you have to do the funeral right away, the next day, because they don't fill you up with fluids and stuff. So you start decomposing right away.
Next week.
That's more natural. It makes more sense than spending a bunch of money on making you look pretty when you don't really need it anymore.
When someone dies, the funeral is usually the week after.
Yeah.
That was morbid.
It was morbid. It was. Let's see. Yeah, so I don't want to say it's my favorite line in this episode, and I didn't choose it as my favorite line because it is really kind of awful, but one of the most impactful things I think that happened in this second episode was when Buffy asks Dawn, is this hell? Mm-hmm. What must Buffy think of her former life that she believes she's in hell because she's back where she started?
Yeah, but I understand it so well considering the night she's getting back
on. It looks like hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Absolutely. I do not blame her whatsoever for asking this, but just imagine what's going through her head right now, thinking that maybe she deserves this, thinking that this is her hell, the life she led for 20 years was hell for her. It's awful, but fascinating to see the way that her mind works.
My initial thoughts were that she thought it was hell because she was looking on as if this is what happens once you're gone. I definitely see what you're saying, and that's probably closer to what was intended, but considering the night she came back on and all of the just insanity that's going on around her, I kind of thought that she was this is my world without me, and wow, it's hell. Like that hell was showing her what was going on now that she was gone and that she's powerless to stop it. That sort of thing.
That's a great point, Kristen, because in a way, I can see how she would think that she deserves hell. She wasn't willing to sacrifice her sister. That was a selfish choice she made. she sacrificed herself instead. And so then her hell would be showing her, look, this is what you're not there anymore. So because you were selfish, this is what's happening to everybody you care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fair point. So where do you guys think Buffy has been the whole time? I mean, Adiana, you said like her body is there, she's dead, but her spirit and soul, do you guys think she was in Hell Dimension? Do you think she was somewhere else? Do you think she was nowhere?
If I'm going to go off the Vampire Diaries, which I am, because I feel like now watching this, I'm like, oh, they copied a lot of things. I think she was at peace, or at least in like their limbo or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to agree. Like, I'm looking at like what the show has kind of showed us in the past. Like, we haven't seen anything past, you know, past death, but like on Angel, we saw like the powers that be, and like, I'd like to think that she was either at peace or that she was in, yeah, like a purgatory limbo sort of place, like was still like, it's almost funny being processed. Like, she's only been gone a couple of months, so like she hadn't yet found her final resting place. Like, she wasn't necessarily where she's going to be forever or something like that. Like the other side on the Vampire Diaries or yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Like, she hadn't yet made peace with her own death or something like that. I assumed that she was somewhere like that.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see if we find out, won't we? My last question, or at least my last comment here, is I just want to say I really appreciated the fact that Dawn was the one to talk Buffy down. And this kind of goes into my favorite scene later on, but I just wanted to say, like, there could have been a number of people who could have been the one to reach Buffy. They've all gone through so much with her. But I really don't think any of them, except perhaps Giles, would have been as impactful as Dawn talking to Buffy. And I think it's especially good that Dawn was the one, because that's why Buffy sacrificed herself to begin with. So I just kind of wanted to see what you guys took from that.
I really liked that Dawn was the one to reason it all together, to know where Buffy was. Like, Buffy kind of stumbles across the group, across the Scoobies, and, you know, she battles with them and then runs away, and none of them really chase after her. Like, I don't know if they were in the headspace to go chasing after a Buffy. I don't know. But none of them chase after her. So I liked that Dawn was the one to kind of say, she left this place, where was she going? And finds Buffy. Like, she knows, like, she was the only one to be able to reason it and say, okay, obviously this is where she would go. Like, I have to go there. I liked that whole process. Like, she is her sister in, you know, in all of the ways. And it was really, really impactful that she stood up on that ledge again. And this time was, you know, able to, and, you know, had they weren't in a somebody must sacrifice themselves situation. So it's, you know, now she can finally get her sister down, like save her sister and pull her back, and she can save Buffy now that Buffy saved her. Like, it was a really lovely moment for Dawn to be able to be the one to say, like, we need you, don't leave me again.
And Dawn was able to get through to her. We saw, like, Buffy's very disoriented. She's got blurry vision. Her reactions are strange. She doesn't really know what's going on. But when Dawn is in trouble, that kind of clicks things on for her. And she finally sees, I think, the world and kind of understands where she is and what she needs to do. Any thoughts on the way Buffy was reacting when she first woke up?
I mean, I think she was reacting very naturally. She's had a very traumatic experience. And it was really interesting how they did the lens, like seeing it through her eyes, and how she still couldn't like really see things, which makes sense since she's had no eyes for months.
Yep.
I love when she spots the Buffy bot. She's so confused, and then she can sort of tell that it looks like her. And then she screams.
Yeah.
Sort of the most natural, sane-ish reaction we get.
Yeah, I mean, I always like Buffy best when she's being authentic, which is probably why I like the Buffy bot so much, because everything that comes out of her mouth is authentic. But I like, I'm weird in that I don't like quippy Buffy. I like Buffy when she's being real. And in this episode, obviously, she was very real.
And raw.
Yeah, and very raw.
She's almost kind of, I don't want to say drugged out, because that's not what I mean, but
it's the way she acts, though. She's definitely, like, confused, doesn't really know how to react to things.
Foggy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit foggy until the crazy tower is about to collapse.
Right.
And Dawn screams.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we'll have to see how this all impacts everybody going forward. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. But until then, I want to jump into favorite scenes. So we're going to do part one first, and then part one for favorite scenes, favorite lines, then we'll do part two. My favorite scene was Chouse and Anya fighting over the statue. Because he's just whacking her with the papers. And it was just... there were a few pretty funny parts in these episodes, despite the morbid topic. And it's just so cute that, like, Anya and Giles, like, when Giles kind of gets down to this level, he's usually so stoic and prim and proper. But sometimes he just has to have a fight with Anya. And it was really cute.
She brings it out in him.
She does. your favorite scene is really interesting.
Well, I couldn't really choose a favorite scene, so I picked Willow killing Bambi, because the music in that scene is called Willow Kills Bambi.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. It was kind of a horrific scene, though.
Yeah, and apparently Allison Hannigan really hated filming that scene because she loves animals.
Yeah. Definitely saw it coming, though. Like, knew that's what was going to happen. Ariana, no surprise.
My favorite scenes were the Buffy bot, because she's my favorite.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
She is.
She was great. And Kristen, I love yours.
So my favorite scenes were basically any time that vampire wearing a Hansen t-shirt was in the scene, because... he was wearing a Hansen t-shirt. Like, who wear, like, you don't expect to see a Hansen t-shirt pop up in the middle of Buffy. It just surprised the hell out of me, and I was so excited that every time he popped up again, I was like, Karen! it's the little things. And, yeah, it made me really happy. So, the Hansen t-shirt wearing vampire is definitely the coolest.
And for favorite lines, mine is between Xander, Anya, and Tara. It's when Willow is like, look, guys, this is what we're going to do. And Xander goes...
Should we divide these parts up?
If you would like to.
Yeah. Who do you want to be, Will? Who do you want to be, Karen?
Whoa, Freudian slip? I'm offended. Wow. I'll be Xander. Ariana, okay. I think you should be Anya.
Okay.
Who wants to be Tara?
I can be Tara.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. Excuse me. Who made you the boss of the group?
You did.
You said Willow should be boss.
And then you said, let's vote. And it was unanimous.
And then you made her this little plaque that said, boss of us. You put little sparkles on it.
It was just this whole bit, and it was quite funny in the middle of a pretty serious scene.
I just love that Xander has, like, sparkle paint and is not afraid to use it. Like, it's I like not surprising.
Boss of us. Mai, what was your favorite line?
Giles. Good God, I hope he doesn't try to operate heavy machinery.
Set the scene for this one, because I'm having trouble remembering it.
Oh, it's the beginning scene when Tara tries to slow down a vampire and it speeds him up. And she suggests that he may be on medication.
Ariana?
Mine was at the beginning when they were fighting and like Spike like saves Giles, but Giles doesn't know it. And he was like, "You could have told me." And Spike goes, "Oh, poor Watcher. Did your life pass before your eyes? Cup of tea, almost got shagged, cup of tea."
If only he knew. Giles. He
can they get have some. Such an odd and delightful relationship.
They do. Spike's incorporation to the gang in general, especially now, the way that they rely on him and the way that he provides is just so interesting. We could talk about that all the time, but I'm sure we'll get more chances. And Kristen, your favorite line?
Mine comes from Xander, and it's after he watches Anya and Giles have a slap fight, and he says, "Okay, when I'm marveling at the immaturity, be scared."
So true.
It is so, very so true. All right. For our favorite scenes for the second episode, like I said, mine is when Buffy's desire to save Dawn overcomes all that confusion and depression she's feeling. I think that the way that her instincts kick in to take care of Dawn makes her remember why she's kind of here in the first place. She still has a lot of stuff to sift through, and I think she still has a lot of things to learn and understand about why and how she came back. But yeah, just the fact that her desire to save Dawn overcomes all of that is really impressive to me. Mai, your favorite scene?
When Spike wistfully looks at demons wrecking things, and then 20 seconds later, he's making sure that Dawn has a helmet because they're going to ride the motorcycle.
That helmet was really cute, too.
So complex.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Ariana?
That should be like a TV show.
Spike and Dawn?
Yeah, we have my two teen moms and my demon dad.
Oh my god.
Spike going cross country with Dawn on their motorcycle. I like it.
Into it.
But yeah, all the Spike and Dawn scenes.
Yeah, they're pretty glorious.
Yeah.
Little bit. Kristen?
I do love when he calls her Little Bit. It's so cute.
And when he told her to stay in school.
Kristen, what's your favorite scene?
I had a hard time picking a favorite scene for this episode. I don't know, nothing just like stood out at me, but I did really like just the scene with Xander and Willow in the woods, and like where she finally kind of accepts that Buffy's gone, and later on like them getting lost and all of that. Like, I really liked seeing Xander and Willow kind of have some time, even though it was just them getting lost in the woods. Like, they don't get a lot of scenes, just the two of them anymore, and we used to get a ton of them. So it was kind of nice to see them have a moment.
Yeah, definitely. And favorite lines for this episode, mine was when Anya was worrying about Xander, and she just goes, "They could be hurt. Xander could be lying somewhere broken and bleeding, calling out my name." And Tara just kind of goes, "Anya," and Anya goes, "Like that? Oh, God." I just love the way that Anya talks. I love the way that she reacts to things. And she loves Xander so much. And for her, like, it's confusing and awful, but she can't help it, and it's very pure, very raw, and I really appreciate that about her. Mai?
I'm not gonna do this justice, but it's the Buffy bot after she's broken and Dawn comes over. "Where did I go? I was here, but then I ran away."
She's so confused. Yeah. But yeah, it's really cute. Ariana?
Mine was when Spike was looking after Dawn, and she didn't want to listen. And he was like, "Look, Dawn, I know that you're scared, but I'm your sitter, so mind me."
It was cute. It was cute. Kristen?
Mine is from my favorite scene, where Willow and Xander get lost in the woods. And Willow says, "Xander, it's not a bug. It's Tara. Come on." And Xander goes, "And how long have you known that your girlfriend's Tinkerbell?"
I knew you would love that line.
Of course.
All right. Well, that wraps up our discussion for the first two episodes of Buffy season 6. We are finally in season 6, guys. Whew, it's quite a journey from here, but it's already been quite a journey, so we'll see where it takes us. If you would like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can find us on this post on hypeable.com or rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. As usual, we really appreciate iTunes reviews. It allows other people to find us. So if you rate us 5 stars, then I will take you on a nice motorcycle ride. That's pretty exciting.
Wait, you have a motorcycle?
I do. It's in the garage. You haven't noticed it?
Why have we not gone on motorcycle adventures?
I mean, you have to earn it.
Rude.
Okay, and we are going to jump into listener feedback right now. We've got a couple from Twitter. So the first one is from Stephanie Merrill, who says, "It bothers me so much that Angel leases the hotel. I thought he bought it with the bank robbery money."
It bothers me too. Angel, you dumb. Why doesn't he buy the hotel?
Good point.
I have no answer for this, yeah. But... whatever. Mai, will you get this one from Laura?
Laura Morrow at Laura Morrow 123 says, "I may be totally wrong, but did anyone else notice the Angel investigation set is basically the old library set from Buffy?"
Is this true? Can anyone confirm?
I think that's wrong, but it looks quite similar.
They're both like have that large open feel.
Yeah.
I think they broke down that set. Library set.
I honestly do not know. But if anybody else knows, feel free to chime in.
Let us know.
Yeah. And we'll read it out next week. But yeah, I don't think so either, but could be totally wrong. And we have a comment on Hypeable from Mega Meg. And Ariana, I would love if you could read this.
I would love to. "Great episode this week. Why, thank you. I'm very proud of it also. I agree with Ariana about Cordy feeling a little guilty over Buffy's death. I had always thought that she seemed a little pushy and weird about it, but couldn't think as to why other than it showcasing Angel's reserve on the subject. But her feeling guilty about dragging, quotes because it's not her fault, Angel away totally makes sense. I also really enjoy Cordelia's speech to Angel about how living on is honoring Buffy, especially since that's such a callback to Amends in season 3 where Buffy lays out her philosophy on strength." Okay, I wanted to ask you guys about this because no one else agreed with me. But like the more I think about it, even a week later, I was like, no, I do think she feels guilty. So I still think she feels guilty. But anyway.
I can see that.
What's next? Oh, and just a little fun fact about Skip. He's played by David Denman, who is also known for his role as Roy, Pam's first fiance in The Office. Also, quick note on the gift. I don't remember if anyone pointed out how Dawn was willing to sacrifice herself without any hesitation. So just in case I'm bringing it up now, it's a small moment, but I think it shows how selfless and brave Dawn is. That's good. I do remember that. That was nice of her, since the world was ending anyway, and she would have probably died anyway. At the risk. No, it was selfless. Let's give her credit. At the risk of sounding like a huge dork, I started listening to Rewatchable from the very beginning and finally caught up. Yay! I'm very happy about it because I would always want to comment on stuff from old episodes but felt weird bringing up things from long ago. But now I'm current and can leave relevant, although maybe rambling, comments.
We love old comments. Like, just throwing that out there, especially if they're about Avatar, like, that never dies for us. Veronica Mars, like, we actually really love getting the old comments, and it's nice to kind of bring up our previous shows every once in a while. So, like, seriously, never worry about that, because it's a lot of fun. Avatar has not really died for us around here, in case anybody hasn't noticed. Like, that's still very much a thing.
It will never die.
Oh my gosh. So, I was thinking about this the other way. I was like, the other day, I thought, Cordelia and Angel are like my Zutara. They're like...
We've noticed.
They're like this thing that I made up that is like not real, but I feel like should definitely be real. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Well, thanks Mega Meg for leaving that lovely, lovely comment, and hope to see you more in the comments coming up. So next we're going to be doing Ariana's answers and Kristen's contemplations. We've got Buffy 603 Afterlife and Angel 303 That Old Gang of Mine. And let the speculation begin.
I have some major theories on 303 that I'm excited about. Okay. I think 603 is probably just going to be Buffy coming back to life and everyone realizing that they kind of messed up because she's kind of traumatized. But 303, I'm hoping, is the crossover we've been wanting, and that some Sunnydale peeps head on over to LA and Cordelia and Angel hang out with that old gang of theirs.
Interesting. I mean, I think 603, it's pretty obvious that we're going to be talking about Buffy and, like, life after death and, like, what that means for where she was and also, like, how she gets back into the swing of being alive, because it's kind of weird. I think that's pretty obvious that that's what that's going to be about. But Angel 303, I think that it's going to be more flashback stuff. Like his original gang, not the Scooby gang.
Ooh, you think that Darla's going to be back with her Preggers belly?
Yeah, like I think you're going to see some Darla and some Spike and some Drusilla and like the old gang of his, not the Scooby gang. Although I would be happy to see some Scooby gangers end up in Angel for a little while. It'd be cool to see what was going on. But yeah, I think it's going to be flashback heavy.
Very good speculation there. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in once again. Really appreciate doing this and talking about Buffy this week. And we'll be back to our normal schedule, obviously, with a Buffy and then an Angel. So this was kind of a special two-parter of our own, doing Angel first and then Buffy, but it was a lot of fun. And so thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Mai.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.